The scripture reading this morning that goes along with the Matthew reading that John Wesley selected to speak about what it is to be an altogether Christian comes from the book of Acts. It's the 26th chapter, the 28th verse. And King Agrippa is arguing about Paul's fate, and he is very much in question himself about his own. And so he asks, "Are you so quickly persuading me to become a Christian?" The word of God for us, the people of God. I really think in so many ways we've heard the word proclaimed if we distilled everything that we listened to so far this morning. And your image of the garden is perfect, the pyramid of loving God first. John Wesley, at this point in his conversation with his faith tradition, was arguing about whether or not you were almost a Christian or altogether a Christian. And his argument was against the Oxford Methodists. This was the very, very intellectual group of people who took their faith very seriously. He was teaching at Oxford at the time, and he raised a question to them about their piety, and he became a very, very harsh critic. He said that they practice all the right disciplines. They did the worship, they did the study, they did the scripture, they held each other accountable, they fasted, all of the disciplines they attended to correctly, and yet he said that they were righteous on the outside, but on the inside they were full of hypocrisy. Full of hypocrisy. Did you ever feel that way? Something that Jesus dealt with in his ministry as well. We have these verses from Jesus. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Well, this is what John Wesley wrote about his understanding of his faith during this time. "I did go thus far for many years, as this place can testify, using diligence to eschew out all evil, and to have a conscience void of offense, redeeming the time, buying up every opportunity to do good to all men, constantly and carefully using all the public and all the private means of grace, endeavoring after a steady seriousness of behavior at all times and in all places, and God is my record before whom I stand, doing all this in sincerity, having a real desire to serve God, a hearty desire to do His will in all things, to please Him who had called me to fight the good fight and to lay hold of eternal life. And yet, my own conscience heareth me witness to the Holy Ghost that all at this time I was but an almost Christian." So, in fact, John Wesley struggled with what it would mean to be that fully altogether Christian. Well, for John Wesley, he added that idea of experience. experience into his faith understanding. So he relied on Scripture first. He also took very seriously the tradition of the church. He relied on reason, the scholarship and the enlightenment of his day. And he added experience to that. And until he could experience for himself, I think, some relief of his conscience, he continued to struggle. And I think this is so true for us, right? Is that true for you? You get to know God a little bit, and you get to understand yourself better. And sometimes, in fact, when you know God a little bit, it shines the light into some dark places, and you start noticing the rocks in the garden and the weeds in the garden, and you didn't see them before, but as you get to know God better, you know them more and more. Did you ever have that experience? Yeah, I'm sure you did. So how does one become an altogether Christian? And these were John Wesley's understandings. You become an altogether Christian when the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. It engrosses your whole being. All of your desire is toward God. There is none on earth I desire except for thee. That's the full-blown leap of faith, okay? To take that full-blown leap of faith, understanding that there is nothing that is consuming in your life as God. And to regularly return to that. You know, in our world and in our day, we have so many things to be distracted by. In fact, my need to go on retreat this last week was because I was very seriously distracted by the rhythm of a number of things that had been continuing to happen in my life. And you need to step back and take that time to be with God so that you can let your heart understand its pull toward God. There was an African image that you may have heard this said before, but sometimes when you travel too fast in Africa, they say when you go through the jungle too fast, you have to stop and rest for 2 or 3 days to allow your soul to catch up with your body. So that's, you know, sometimes we get into that situation, don't we, where we need to do that. But this understanding that God is first really requires a leap of faith, a leap into something that's unknown, a full-blown trust and a surrender that we surrender all that we have and all that we are to our Lord. The second way that we become an altogether Christian is to love your neighbor as yourself. That includes your enemies. To love your enemy as much as you love your own soul. To love your enemy as much as you love your own soul. And when you think about it, you know, that's Jesus came to do that. Jesus came to earth so that we could learn. He had the experience, the human experience that we have, so that we could learn what God's plan was for our life. So that he had that same experience, so that we could understand what God intended for our lives. Let me maybe give it a little more clarity this way. And it is, it's great news that the troops are coming home from Iraq. Is that not wonderful news this week? I remember when the war first started, there was a little 7-year-old girl in Manassas, Virginia, and she heard about a little Iraqi boy her age who had an arm blown off in a landmine, had, you know, been injured. And so it really struck her. Now, what better way to relate to someone than to live from their experience, right? Who could understand little Ali better than a 7-year-old, right? Someone his age who was enduring what he was doing. This little girl was so passionate about this little boy's injury that she wrote letters to the president. She had her entire second grade class write letters. And eventually, they brought this little boy to the United States and fitted him with a prosthetic device because of her passion and her desire, because she was speaking from her own experience. Well, when you love your neighbor that way, you love from your own experience. You understand how hard it is when things are really hurting. And so even your enemies become those people that you can love. And actually, the neat benefit, this little girl, many other children have come to the States to receive treatment since she wrote that letter. I mean, a little child, right? A little child. And the third way that we become an altogether Christian is that there is this piece of inward transformation that continues to show that our faith is not a word, but it is a working in love. It's a verb. Our faith is constantly going before us as love working out into the world. And indeed, John Wesley said that if you don't understand that yet, if you do not have that kind of faith that is just working love all the time, that you beg God for it, that you ask God for it, that you cry out to Him day and night, and until you can say for sure, "My Lord and my God." Now, our closing hymn will speak to that. It will speak to the wrestling and the struggling so that we can pray to God to relieve any darkness that we feel so that the Lord can be our Lord and God, our Master. But here's the deal. John Wesley would say that our faith journey, as we are justified by God, we are made in right relationship with God, so we are covered with the grace of God. But as we are sanctified, we become right with God from the inside out. Okay? And he said that this kind of sanctification is all about what the work of God does within us. So, my friends, the news is that it is the power of the Holy Spirit that sanctifies our lives to move into our lives deeply enough so that God is first, so that we can say, "I love God more than anything else in this world," so that we can let the distractions behind, so that our lives from the inside out can become cleansed and full and rich with the love of God so that we can love our enemies. This is not a works righteousness. Loving our faith, being love and working in the world and moving in ways of mission is not about a works righteousness. This is about the Holy Spirit's movement, period. It is about acting in response to the grace of God that we receive through Jesus Christ. And it is moving out totally empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that sanctifies our lives. It's not anything that we can do on our own. And so we do need to pray to God for all of those things that we struggle with so that we can continue to receive that sanctifying grace. John Wesley would say that we are going on to perfection. And that perfection wasn't about being perfect in our outer world at all. It was about being perfect in love. It was about being able to root out enough of the sin in our lives so that we could love others perfectly. And if we are not aiming for that, what are we doing here? Right? There is a purpose to our faith. If we are, our faith is about doing something. We are going somewhere. This isn't just a something for to kind of sit and not do anything with it. This is going to take us. Our faith in Jesus Christ will move us to be those who can fully love all others. We see that as evidenced when we see the fruit of the Spirit working in another's life. The fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, and self-control. Do we expect to be made perfect in love, really? Do we? Can we be all together Christian? We can say yes, because through Christ, it speaks not to our ability to do anything, but it speaks to God's power and ability and the power and the love of God to do that in us. Amen? Amen. All right. So let's join in the Wesleyan covenant prayer as we affirm what we believe about the love of God and fully surrender ourselves so that God might be first in our lives. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.